musicians go and have their seats. Enjoy that.
Amen.
I enjoyed good singing, and Brother Tim just sprung that on him this morning. I texted him early, and I guess he was in the shower or something and didn't get it till later. So, but I think he did really good.
Amen.
You know, in the eyes of the world, we're not going to win any contest.
That's right.
But I'm pretty sure that the one that we want it to matter to,
Amen.
And so, just want to just thank Brother Tim for helping us this morning. I think he's good at that, especially when it comes from the heart. Amen. So we really appreciate that. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 11. We want to say Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers. Amen. It's a wonderful privilege to be a parent, but it's also a great responsibility. And if you have a father who is endeavoring to live right and serve the Lord, you should be very happy. Amen. Very happy. Pray for him, because he needs it. He's a pillar of the house, and Satan would love nothing more than to take the pillar of the house out. And so just remember to pray for your fathers. Pray for other people's fathers too. Don't have to. And if you run out of it, then remember me. Amen. Pray for me. Amen. I just love the Lord this morning. You know, we're here in this church. We're trying to build a Bible. We've got a book of Daniel. We've got a book of Malachi. We got a 1 Timothy, now we got a 2 Timothy. So we're going to keep on until we have at least 66 books of the Bible here. Amen. So that's really good. We appreciate everyone. Love each one. And thank you for the prayers as we were on vacation there. This morning I want to talk to you, just a simple title, Rest for Your Souls. I got home and just about 3 hours later I started having sinus troubles, and so you forgive me this morning if I have to clear my throat a few times or whatever. And sometimes I wonder why I go on vacation, because a lot of times when I go, I come back with a bug or something. But as I told my wife this morning, we're just going to pick herself up by the bootstraps and keep moving. Amen. Because our day is coming. I mean, actually, this is our day. But we'll say the completion of our day. Well, the title of this, Rest for Your Souls. Very familiar scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus speaking there, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, because we are here gathered today with the people who love you, whose hearts are sincere. Because of that, Lord, because our hearts are toward your word, we know that you're here. Each one of us brought just a portion of you here, a small lick of fire. Lord, when we get together and all those licks of fire get together, it just brings on more of your presence. And we're thankful for that, Lord, that you are so faithful to your word together with us. And Lord, now we're just asking that you break the bread of life this morning. There's not a man on this earth that can do it, except, Lord, that you would do it through him. And so, Lord, we surrender ourselves in that manner this morning. Ask that you speak to every heart, every life. I open these thoughts that you gave me, Lord, and make it the inspiration come that I can share it the way you would have it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Rest for your souls. Amen. As we talk about this title this morning, this topic, I'm just going to tell you right up front that entering into rest and having the Sabbath, you know, this one of the commandments was Sabbath, and being free from the effects of Babylon, having the Holy Spirit in your life, it all comes the same way. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Rest for your souls. You know, rest is an interesting thing, because we have to have it. In the natural, you have to have rest.
Yeah.
You know, when you work, and God made it this way, okay? We understand. He made it this way. When we work throughout the day, we get tired after a while.
Yeah.
Like in our trip, we're driving back, you know, many, many hours of driving, and you would think, well, you're just sitting there doing nothing, but it takes its toll. Even if you're just sitting in a chair doing nothing, your body after a while has to have some sleep and some rest. And it's during that time that you're resting, your body is repairing itself. It's rejuvenating itself. It's fixing itself. And if you don't enter into rest, you're going to die. That's right, eventually. And so your body knows this. It's all built-in mechanism that in your own, just as in a physical life, your body knows that you must have that time of repairing, that time of rejuvenation. And so it starts calling. It starts telling you, you're tired. You must stop. You must slow down. You must stop what you're doing and enter into rest. And if you don't do that, you will not be rejuvenated.
Right.
But if you do that, you'll wake up replenished.
Right.
Especially if you're sick, then you need more rest.
Right.
Why? Because you need more repair. Right?
Right.
And so we understand that concept. Your body will call for it. And so the key issue here, I want you to remember as we talk about this, is that you cannot keep working and enter into rest.
Right.
You can't do both at the same time.
No, that's right.
You have to stop the work, the labor, the heavy burdens. You must get loose from those in order to have rest.
Yeah. Right.
And so when you enter into rest, then you are, it is lightening that load from the previous day, making it where you're ready to go again. So we understand that concept, just a real simple thing there. But natural type spiritual and everything, natural type spiritual, and so it's the same with this.
Right.
And so Jesus says here in the scripture, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." Now he's not talking about your work for the day, going to work, plowing a field, or selling cars, or whatever it is you might be doing. He's not talking about that. That to come to him, that you have a natural rest that takes care of that. But all natural type spiritual. So in your spiritual life, as you walk through life, the same mechanism works. You get tired. There are things that happen. And in your spiritual being, you need rest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And ultimately, if you do not find that rest for your soul, you will die.
Yeah.
Right.
You will die spiritually. You will not have your place in the kingdom of heaven if you don't enter into rest. It's a requirement. And so that's why the prophet said that the entire Christian experience is based on rest. That means it's not based upon what you do. Because as long as you're trying to please God by what you do,
right,
you're not going to be in a restful state. You're going to work yourself to pieces and be miserable.
Right.
And ultimately, at the end of your days, be lost. Because the only way is to come and enter into rest, spiritual rest. And so this is why Jesus is speaking to them. He says, "Come all who labor." And the truth of the matter is that all of us labor. Life itself is a struggle. Life itself is a labor.
Right.
Everybody listening, because this applies to everyone, even our little ones that can't understand what I'm saying, this applies. You are working, you are walking in life, you are laboring, and it's taking its toll on you. The decisions you make, the decisions other people make, things that happen to you, they all take their toll on you. Right? But there's got to be a way to release that labor and rejuvenate yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And this is what Jesus is speaking about. That he has a way, as a natural type spiritual, there is a way to fix yourself from the things that life throws your way. Because life throws things your way. Sometimes it's your own fault, but a lot of times life will throw things your way that is not your fault. But regardless of what it is, wherever it comes or however it comes, there has to be a way to fix yourself from the blow that comes from life.
Yeah,
right? There has to be a way. You think God would put us here in this earth and not provide that for us?
Right.
What kind of God would that be? But we know that he did provide. He has a provided way. And as the prophet said, I've heard so many times recently, he said, you've got to find God's way and stick with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
That's the only way out, is to find God's way. And he's got a way for you, each one of you. He has a way for you to release yourself from all the bad mistakes and all the things that have happened. And it is not by the efforts that you do, but it's the efforts of what he has done. Right? So you enter into rest. You rest in what God has done for you.
Right.
Amen. That means you have to believe his promises.
Right.
Yeah? We know that. So there's all kinds of things that come along. And You know, you can, and if you don't, like I said, if you don't enter into rest, then you know what happens. And so life itself is a struggle. You know, people are all the time doing this. We want, and I've read the quote recently. I don't have it at the moment, but you remember I've read it 2 or 3 times. Brother Graham said that life itself is a struggle. And he said, if, you know, we're always trying for it to be easy, and if all we're trying to seek for is everything to be easy and no struggles, no life, he said, there's something wrong. And if you've walked in this life for very long, you understand life is a struggle. I think we were talking on vacation one day. We were fellowshipping, and I don't remember the exact conversation, but it was something about that we were talking about. Oh, if we knew now, well, I knew back then when we were young what we do now, well, we would do things differently. And I said, and you know what? All that would do is that would just give you a different set of struggles.
Right.
So you think, well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to get a better job, and I'm going to get a better vehicle. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And all you're doing is shifting to a different kind of struggles, because life is a struggle. You can get $10 million tomorrow from whatever method. Hopefully it wouldn't be from gambling or whatever they call that stuff. But lottery, hopefully it wouldn't be. But if you got $10 million tomorrow, I can guarantee you the next day you have struggles. Because in this life, you cannot get away from the struggle. They're there, but you can find rest from them.
Right?
Say it like it is in the natural. We have a natural process that we work, we get tired, we rest. We're rejuvenated, we work, we get tired, we rest. You understand? And it's the same thing spiritual. Spiritually speaking, we need our daily bread.
Yes.
Spiritually speaking, every day we need to enter into the rest that God has provided for us in order for us to be rejuvenated and be strong. And so it's everything's a cycle. It cycles with God. We understand that. And so you can try to do this and try to do that and try to make changes. And I will just tell you, if you walk long enough, if you don't already know this now, you will, that no matter what happens in your life, it is a struggle.
Right.
And the best thing we can do is figure out how to rise up and defeat the things of how that, yes, what that, and that is enter into the rest of God. And Jesus said, you'll find rest for your souls. So he's not talking about physical labor. He's talking about the spiritual battles and things that you have in life. So the only way to deal with life struggles is to enter into rest. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. So Jesus offers that rest to us, and it is rest for our souls. Rest for our body is a natural type of it. Rest for our souls can only come from God's word.
Right.
Can only come from an experience with God.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can give that to you. You know, in the natural, no one can give you rest. You have to enter into that yourself. Somebody might make a bed for you, might make provisions for you, but you have to enter into that state of rest in order for your body to repair. We have to enter into spiritual rest in order for God's word and his blood and his cleansing power to take away from us the guilt of sin and all the mistakes. And don't get me wrong, you reap what you sow. And if you sow things that are bad, you will have to reap those things. But in all that, if you're a child of God, then he's there to rejuvenate you.
Right.
Ultimately, life itself is a cycle like that. That when this life is over with, we're entering into rest. Come out the other side of the millennium, we're in eternity, fully replenished.
Yeah.
Amen? That's what it's all about. So, you know, it's like interesting, you know, when we know, of course, I haven't passed away in the natural, so I can't tell you this, but it's the way I envision it, you know, even from things to hearing when the prophet said that when you leave this world, now listen, you may think you have bad things right now. You may think you had fear right now in this life, but you've known nothing of the fear of what it'd be if you leave this life without the blood of Jesus Christ on you. A nightmarish state, as the prophet said. A nightmare. You know how a nightmare is. The night can drag on and on when you're sick or something, and you can't get rest, and you're just tossing and turning, tormented. For me, I'd have dreams when I was sick. I'd have recurring nightmarish dreams when I was sick. And it's just like it tarries on and on, and the night takes forever. But when you enter into rest, you close your eyes right off into rest, and boom, just like that, it's the next day, and you're refreshed. And I believe it's that way in the, that when we pass from this life as a Christian, instantly we're there in restful state, enjoying the presence of the Lord. But if you're lost, you'll lay there and it'll feel like ages and years and ages and years in a nightmare state, knowing what you're fixing to come to. Who wants that? Then our way to get away from that is to enter into rest. And that is to allow the Word of God, what He's promised and what He's laid there for you to accept that and quit trying to do it yourself. Quit trying to do what you do yourself. Whether you're living for the devil or trying to live for God, you cannot do it yourself. You must accept what He's done and let that be the thing that moves you on.
Right.
Amen. So Jesus tells us that you get rest for your souls, and you can only get that from God because He's the author of it. Right? He's the only one. Man, you can't get that from man's word. You can't get it from a new program the government rolls out or a new job or whatever. You can't get that. You can only get that from God. Through His word, through His promises, through His Holy Spirit to confirm that word. That's the only way you can get it. Man's word is corrupted. And what man has done to the Bible, to God's word, the way He presents it, what He tries to make it out to be, He has corrupted that.
Right.
And so we know here at the end time, we're familiar, and I'll refer to it again at some point, but here at the end time, we know that God is to do a great thing that will call His people out of Babylon. Right? Come out and hurt my people. And we know that's the message of the hour. Come out and hurt my people. But remember, as we go into these scriptures we're about to read, remember that Babylon made the world drunk. Babylon defiled the kings, defiled the religions, has daughters who are harlots too. So when we speak of the Bible, we're talking about a world system that has affected commerce, business, government, churches, religion, it's all affected there. And in there is all the blood of the saints and all that. You understand? And God's going to do something here at the end time where an angel comes down from heaven. It's Revelation 18. Comes down and through that, he cries out and says, and this is what's happened. Babylon has fallen. We had an angel come from heaven. An angel come right out of the pages of the Bible. And he's made with a loud voice. He has said, this church world system is fallen. There's nothing in it.
Yeah.
That's what he said. It's fallen. It's fallen. And then the voice speaks from heaven. Now that you've got a messenger that's told you on earth, hey, this thing's all messed up. What do? We find ourselves in it. Then this voice says, come out from her, my people.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because in there, they're drunk. And you know what happens when you get drunk? The way people live, right? Amen? So think about that. The world has been made drunk when we read these next scriptures here in Isaiah chapter 28. You're familiar with this. So Isaiah is speaking there. He says, but they also have erred through wine. They get drunk, right? And through strong drink, are out of the way. The ministry, the priest, and the prophet have erred through strong drink. What is happening to you? The preachers, they have fallen from Babylon.
Right?
Right? And they're drunk.
Amen.
From Babylon. Yep. Right? Now look at this. They've erred through strong drink. They have swallowed up wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. That's the age. That's what God's calling us out of.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Look at this. For He says, all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no clean place.
Yeah.
So this is what He said. I'm going to break this down. Everybody today in this world, they're all going to churches. They're all going to tables.
Yeah.
They're all going to eat. But the scripture said, every table is full of vomit.
Right.
What is that telling you? That somebody's been fed this before and they didn't like it and they regurgitated it.
Right?
Right?
Right.
This is God saying this. That the ministry and the people, and like I said, the whole world drunk, And there's no place, no clean place that you can go and find food for your soul. Yeah. No place.
Right.
Where are you going to find it? This is what he's saying. All tables full of vomit. So in that condition, where are you going to go to get a good meal? Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, where are you going to go? They're all drunk. You know, a lot of people, when they get drunk, they throw up.
Right?
So in that condition, who are you going to teach knowledge? Right? Where are you going to find, how are you going to get to the people if everywhere they go has got that kind of condition?
Right.
Right? And so this happened in Jesus' day with them too, but it happens now. Who should you make to know? Understand doctrine. Who shall you make to understand doctrine? You know the scripture says that all scriptures are given by inspiration, good for doctrine and reproof. I think I may have that on here. We might read it here in just a moment. So God is making this point here that it's all that way. And if it's like that, how are you going to get to somebody? How are you going to teach them? How are you going to get them to come back to knowledge?
Yeah.
Right? And to wisdom.
Right.
And to doctrine. Right? And so he answers the question there. Here's who you can teach these things. You can teach it to those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. What are we saying? Not babies.
Right.
You cannot teach babies great things.
Right.
You cannot teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But you can't teach babies. It takes maturity. When I think of this and eat strong meat, I think of eagles. Because even baby eagles eat meat.
Right?
So that right there shows you this is eagle time. This is that banner of the eagle at the end time that's lifted up. It's underneath that we're talking about. How are we going to learn and come to these to true doctrines and the truth of these things? How are we going to get back to that? The way you do it is right here, like what he's saying there. Because he says, and what he's saying there is those who get back to his word.
Right?
All the tables are full of vomit, but you know God's word is not that way. It's what they've done to it. So it's going to get you back to his word. For it says, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Amen?
Yeah.
What is he saying? Every scripture, verse after verse, line after line, you can't throw anything out. You can't vomit anything out. You got it, the whole word, precept upon precept. You can't deny one part of it. You accept it. You digest it. Remember John eating the book?
Yep.
Digest it. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. And then he says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he'll speak to this people. And you know, that's speaking what happened on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost fell and they all were speaking in tongues. So he's drawing in here and showing you that the way you come out of Babylon, the way you get free from all the tables are full of vomit, is to get back to every word, and back to every word, and the Holy Spirit can come upon that, and it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that experience, that through that, through stammering lips and tongues, he's trying to speak to the people, and see what he said there? And he said to them, to whom he said, this is the rest. We're talking about rest for your soul. This is the rest where we can be caused the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. And they would not hear.
Yeah, right.
So if they would not hear and they would not enter into rest, what happened to them?
Right.
They died.
Right.
Spiritually.
Yep.
Their day of visitation came and went, and they weren't partakers of it. Yeah. We have that today.
Right.
We have a day of visitation right now that's been going on. That song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, that sweet chariot has swung low. It's here right now to pick us up.
Right.
But you've got to step into it. You've got to move into that
right.
chariot. Amen.
Right.
And so this in Isaiah, he's speaking there, and we know from the teaching and the preaching of different sermons and so forth, he's speaking of the day of Pentecost and the experience of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, that if we'll get back to his word, the Holy Ghost can live in us. He actually anoints His Word. So if you want the Holy Ghost, accept His Word. Bathe yourself in it. Read it. Think about it. Pray about it. And the Holy Ghost can come. And it's through that, you'll be speaking a different language to everybody around you. They'll look at you and think you're crazy because you're talking a different language, right. A different spirit.
Right.
Right? But see, this is the rest that Jesus was going to provide. This is the rest that will take away all the hurts and the sorrows of the things that happen in life. And you can get that experience today where you can walk out of here without any burdens. And I will tell you, before a couple of days is out, you'll have other things happen in your life where you're burdened. That's okay. Just come right back to the rest.
Right.
Come back to a fellowship with God and His Word, especially His Word for this day. Amen. So, how thankful we are. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. As I said a while ago, strong meat is not for babies. Paul is speaking of Jesus Christ, how He was called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But the Hebrews couldn't really understand that. And so he addresses that. He said, of whom many things, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He's speaking to the Hebrews. They should have known. Right? They should have known.
Yes.
For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which are the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What is he saying? He said, I can't tell you the riches of God's word. Because you can't handle it. You take and try to give a piece of steak to that little baby back there. You know what's going to happen. Not ready for it.
Right.
Right? And so you see, he's speaking to the Hebrews and he says, I'd love to be able to tell you more about Melchizedek and how Jesus, if I can, because you're still babies. You can't handle revelation.
Yeah.
What about us today?
Yep.
What about so many churches out here, right? Feed them something, regurgitate it. Tables full of vomit.
Right.
God's looking for a people who can eat that word and go in it. Like John, take it, eat that book, and even though it might be sweet in the mouth, bitter in the belly, go in that strength of that book and prophesy before all kindred, tongue, nations, and peoples.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
You know what that's saying? Because Revelation 17, I believe it is, 17 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
And all that God's really saying is that, John, take that book, take this end time revelation that has been opened up and eat that, and we all rejoice in the glorious things that God has told us, but then we have to go out and we have to live it. But we go out and what's happening there is that when we take this open book and we eat it, what are we saying? We are receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's what we're receiving. Yeah. We're embracing the revelation of Jesus. We're taking the bread of life. It's a book. It's bread. It's life. We're taking it. All the symbols there. You understand? We're taking that into us. And now we've had an experience of Jesus Christ. We've had an experience not of just the man 2,000 years ago, not about him intellectually. We have more of an experience, not just what Luther had, Wesley had, or Pentecost, not just speaking in tongues, but we've come into a revelation of Jesus Christ, a knowledge, a testimony of Jesus that only we can go out and live and tell other people. We're the only ones who can do it because we're the only ones that fully experienced it.
Yeah.
So we go out and before it's speaking of the bride taking this message to the whole world.
Right.
And speaking to them what no other churches could do.
Right.
Because they hadn't had the experience.
Hey.
So we eat the book and we go forth in the strength and we prophesy before all kindreds, tongue, nation, people. That means it's before rapture, because after rapture it's only to the Jews.
Right.
So it's this side of rapture. Mm-hmm. So the word will prove itself.
Right.
It'll confirm itself. You just have to let the word do that. Amen.
Amen.
And so we see there strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. I don't want to be unskillful. Right? You cannot be skillful in righteousness, the word of righteousness, by rejecting God's word. You wonder why things happen in your life the way it is? And Well, are you feeding on the word, or are you letting it be gobbled up, your time and everything gobbled up with something else?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Yeah. Amen. We love our babies. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what. We want them to grow up.
Right.
We hate it when they grow up. It's just, you know, but we want them to grow up, because if we know the process, that if there's something wrong, if 20 years from now, they can still only drink milk.
Right.
We'd be going to the doctor long before that, trying to figure what's wrong.
Yeah. Right.
We know God's program. And the minister stands behind his pulpits, and he looks out and he sees your lives. He knows what should be happening. And when he's not seeing that happen, he knows there's something wrong and you need to talk to the doctor.
Yeah.
Right? Spiritually speaking.
Right.
You need to get in the presence of the word and let the word talk to you and speak into your life and tell you what's wrong. And I will tell you, God knows how to do that. God knows how to speak to you in your situation.
Right.
He knows how to fix it.
Yeah. Right.
But Jesus said, they that are whole, they don't need a physician. Right. And when you look at what he's talking about there, he's speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were sick, but they didn't think they were.
Right.
They thought everything was fine. And so therefore they didn't want to come to him, the great physician.
Right.
But they needed to. Right? And that's what he was saying. You don't think there's anything wrong, so you won't come to the physician. But the physician, for those who are sick, they do. They come. One of the best things you can do today is realize, if your life is not measuring up with the word, if you're not having the Spirit of God move through you and conquer things through you, you need to recognize you're sick. And you need to come to the physician. You need to enter into rest. Because that will remove all these heartaches from you. From the things, and give you rest for your soul, and you can go at it again, right? And you will. There'll be battles. But the process is there to rejuvenate you every day, bringing rest for your souls. Amen. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Right.
But using God's word. Exercise God's word in your life.
Right.
And by that you will be strong and mature. And you'll know that this works. And you'll know how to overcome day after day. And you'll quit laying down for the devil.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right.
And that's one you got to have in your life. To enter into this conquering state of rest.
Right.
Sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? You can defeat every devil by resting.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Isn't that something?
Exactly.
God is the God of paradoxes.
Hallelujah.
As Brother Daniel and I were speaking out there on the top of one of them mountains out there the other day, and all these evergreens. It's a desert. But there are all these evergreens.
Yep.
It's like, how do you have evergreens in a desert place where they get very little rain? Well, because God said so. But I was telling Brother Daniel, we were fellowshipping back and forth about this, how that these evergreens, I said, I liken them to Christians because they're green year round. When snow comes, if they ever, they just let all the burdens off. They let the burdens just lay down. Brother Graham talked when he was talking to the infidel. He was saying to him, hey, well, you know, what happened? Well, the sap goes down into the tree. Why? Well, because if the sap didn't go down into the tree during the wintertime, it would kill the tree. The frozen, freezing and all that. See, so the sap has to go down. But evergreens are different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They can show their green all the time. They have life no matter what cycle, no matter what season, no matter what it comes their way. They're constantly green. They're constantly just giving off beautiful colors. Green is the color of life. You'll hear the prophet talk about that.
Right?
That's the thing. A paradox. That where everything else would die, but when God places someone who's got that evergreen experience of life in their in their spiritual walk, they just give off beauty year round. Trials come, trials go, hard, cold winters, hot summers, they just give it off anyway.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Yep.
God, you may feel like you're in a desert. You may feel like your life, you don't know which way to turn. But I'm telling you, if you will take God at his word, if you will enter into this state of rest that I'm talking about, You'll do that. I don't care what happens. You might find yourself like Paul and Silas in some prison some night, but you'll still be green.
Right.
You'll still be free.
Right.
Amen. Because of entering into rest. Amen. To finish what Isaiah was saying there, whom shall he teach? Well, in 2 Timothy, let's look at what he says there. We mentioned it a while ago. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and he is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Yes.
Man, that covers a lot right there.
Yep.
Why? Why would you want that? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Yes.
Right? Every scripture is good for teaching. Apply it to your life, and it'll make you a man of God, a woman of God, that can stand and know where you're at.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's what the scriptures tell us there. But back to what Isaiah was saying, it must be precept upon its precept, line upon line. And if you'll do that, this is the rest. The Holy Spirit will come on the person who accepts the word that he's pouring out for the day. Because that's the very body that the Spirit of Christ lives in, is his own word. Amen. And so you see there in Isaiah when he said, for with stammering lips and other tongues, I'll speak to this people. And this is the rest. He's speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's speaking. It doesn't mean everybody has to speak in tongues, but that movement of God pouring that out is getting back to the word. Not just back to the word back then, but back to the word now. Wasn't that the main theme of the prophet's voice? The main thing constantly with every denomination is back to the word. Accept that word. Let that word be your guide.
Right.
It's the whole message there. The whole thing was that. Amen. And so tongues there, he's showing that there. And when we speak of with stammering lips and another tongue, he'd speak to his people, but they wouldn't listen to it. When you think about that and you think of him pouring out the Holy Spirit and it comes on us and it makes us speak a different language, some of us speak in tongues. But we all speak a different language because now we want to tell people about the gospel and they don't want to hear it.
Right?
Right? But when that happens, tongues, God used that as a sign in the book of Daniel to show that the dispensation of control over God's people that was done by Babylon, that Babylonian control was coming to an end. The end of the Gentile kingdom was coming at the end at that time. Babylon, where God was going to pull people out of Babylon, come out of her, my people, right? That happened back then in the Old Testament because it's happening in today. That was a type of this. Come out of her, my people. And so you see there that when the tongues was written on the wall there in Babylon, remember the story? The prophet said that was a sign that came to show that it was the end of the Gentile dispensation. The sign that it was end of Babylon's rule over God's people.
Yes.
And it's repeating again. Amen. The 1906 outpouring of the Holy Ghost, restoration of gifts, was a sign that God was about to bring an end to Babylon's rule over God's people. Because God was fixing to bring a message that was going to say, come out of her, my people. A message that said, this whole thing is rotten. Babylon has fallen. The Babylonic daughters, the daughters, have all fallen. Now come out. Come to a place where you can have the word. Restoring back to the line, every line upon line, precept upon precept. Back to that where now you can have rest. The only place you can find true rest in this day is in God's current way, current word that he's pouring out that's calling us out of all those systems that keep us under bondage. So tongues was an evidence to bring us out of that. Amen. It was not evidence. It was a sign, not an evidence. It was a sign showing that God was bringing us out of that. The tongues don't bring you out, but it was a sign of what God was about to do. Amen. Come back to the word.
Amen.
You know, the word Sabbath means rest.
Right.
Right? Right. You know, we're told in scriptures, you know, you got to keep the commandments and so forth. And we have people who try to keep Saturday Sabbath because Saturday, if you're looking at a day, Saturday is that day. But God didn't tell us in the New Testament. He never told us to keep that Sabbath. But he did tell us to keep the true Sabbath. And the scriptures can bear that out. If people will look at it, it will bear that out. What is the true Sabbath? What is the true rest? It's the Holy Ghost in your life.
Right.
Right. This is the rest. And it is the Holy Ghost in your life. And it's not just one day, But it's every day.
Yes.
Why? Because you enter into rest. The scripture let us know that when you've entered into that, you are partakers of the power of the world to come. We walk right now as with the Holy Ghost in our lives. We walk with the thing that's going to keep us throughout eternity over there. We're already partakers of it now. It just we've not moved into the cycle for it to change our bodies yet. But that life is in us. That's what has changed us. That's what has stopped us from sinning and doing the things, right? That's the life that's there. That's the rest that's there. And it's the same thing that will keep us. As a prophet that said, the same voice that said, stop sinning what you're doing and turn around and follow me. That's the same voice as the voice of the resurrection.
Amen.
Right? So believers, we've entered into rest.
Yeah.
We've got that experience within us that will keep us from now on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
But Sabbath means rest. And so he's not talking about Saturday. And I won't go there because I didn't put it on there. It's rather lengthy, but you can read in the Hebrews 3, the end of chapter 3, and Hebrews 4, and you can see very clearly that when he was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, and there were some who didn't believe, right? And they could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. They could not enter into rest because they didn't believe.
Right.
So Paul will show you right there that you have to believe the word to enter into rest. And he said there that if in that day, if he spoke of another rest to come, then that wasn't the rest. But there was one to come.
Right.
Right? It wasn't a day where you stayed in your house and couldn't travel so far. And it wasn't a day, but it was an experience of life coming in. Rest for your soul.
Right.
That's the Sabbath. That's why we don't keep Saturday. We don't keep Sunday as a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? The reason why people will say, well, the Catholic, you're Catholic because they changed Sunday to the Sabbath. We don't come to church on Sunday saying it's a Sabbath. We come here because it's the day of the resurrection.
Right.
And I can show you with your Bible where the apostles and the churches met on the first day of the week.
Right.
It's in your Bible.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Amen. That's right. Just punch in quotation marks in your Bible, first day of the week. And you'll find out that every case where it says it, where Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week, first day of the week.
Amen.
And they met, and Jesus come into the room, first day of the week, the evening of the first day of the week, first day of the week, and then the last two, when the apostles gather, when you gather on the first day of the week, then do thus and thus and thus. And then the church, when you gather together on the first day of the week, do such and such and such and such. Because they are, and history proves it out.
Right.
History proves it out that the early church baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. History!
Yep.
Why don't they hear the history that, but yet, because you know there's a spirit upon them to cause them not to believe these truths. And that's why they don't believe them. But even, that's what I'm saying, you can show them plainly in front of them. Even the books that they would use for anything else to guide them, they're encyclopedias, but they won't listen to that because they're anointed with a spirit that cannot accept that.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Right? People say, what do you mean you got to believe all these mysteries and things? It's the very revelation of Jesus Christ that's given us victory.
Right.
These truths. That's what sets us free from Babylon. Because that's the hope that Babylon had, is to believe false teaching, false doctrine, to sit there and eat vomit every day.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the message that God has sent that is setting us free by embracing these truths. Sets us free. Babylon has no hold on us.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Thank God for that. Thank God for a message that straightens things out. Takes all the loose ends, ties them up, and said, yes, that's truth. Luther had truth, and this guy had truth. That's all truth.
Right.
Why? Because a vindicated message was here who God said, this is going to be the one that's going to bring the restoration. This is the one, the Elijah spirit, who's going to bring a restoration. As the scripture said, and so he's going to point out to these things, and he say, yes, that was truth, and that was wrong, but here's the truth on that. And when it's all over and done with, we're going to have so much truth that it's going to change our bodies.
Yep.
Why? Because we have so much word that the Holy Ghost can't keep from just coming and uniting with her.
Amen.
Right. In a way stronger than what they've had in previous ages. Full word with divine interpretation.
Amen.
Means the full Holy Ghost can come. He's not tied back and held back in any way. He can fully manifest himself through a bride coming of Christ.
Amen.
Why?
Right.
Because she has accepted it. She's entered into the rest. There is no rest outside of entering the truth.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Right.
So we have to enter into that. Amen. Just got a few more comments to make. We'll be done. So Jesus said, come to me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and that's all of us. Because life itself is a burden. Is anybody in here that don't have burdens? No, I don't see any hands. Everybody's got burdens. There's a place that you can take those burdens.
Amen.
And so Jesus, now he's speaking of a burden here, but then he goes on and he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, you know what a yoke is? Like when you take two oxen or two horses or whatever, you put a yoke upon them. I don't know a whole lot about it, but the way I understand it is you got this animal who can work. He got strength. He can pull. He can do something for the master who's behind him, right? But somehow you have to transfer the strength and the ability of what that animal can do. You have to transfer that into what the master wants done. And so they put this harness on him, this yoke, and they put this stuff on him that allows him to pull. And it allows him to do things so the master can get use out of this horse or ox or whatever it is. And yet the pulling is it's made in such a way that all that force is going to be transferred through that into the plow or whatever it is without hurting.
Right.
Without hurting the animal. Because if it wasn't built right, immediately there would be blisters and it would be a bad experience.
Right.
But Jesus said, my yoke, it's easy.
Right.
It's not hard to be a Christian if you'll just get into God's program. It's not hard.
Amen.
But you've got to let him put that yoke in. So he says, take my yoke upon you.
Yes.
Right? So he's saying, I can give you rest from your burdens. I can give you rest for your soul. But you've got to take my yoke upon you. But don't worry. My yoke is easy.
Yeah.
My burden is light. And if Jesus says that, then it is.
Yeah.
And I can tell you of my own experience. My experience of serving the Lord, the yoke, the constraints that he puts on me, that I can live for him and he can get out of me what he needs out of me, it's a whole lot lighter and more comfortable than anything Babylon or the world ever gave me.
Right, right.
You understand? Take this yoke upon you.
Yes.
Right? It's easy. His burden is light. But you've got to take that upon you so that through that, God can get out of your life what he needs.
Amen.
Right? So Jesus is telling us that. Take this yoke.
Yes.
You must wear it. So there is a little bit of pull. You can feel it. But he has designed his Christian experience for you. Listen, you might take a yoke that's perfectly fine for one horse and try it on another, and it may not fit just right.
Right.
Understand? But God knows how to make your experience with him perfectly fit so that his burden, his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Yes.
You believe that?
Amen.
If you'll get into his program, and if your experience as a Christian is painful and all that, then you're not getting into the yoke properly.
Right?
Amen. Because God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. People have these things going on in your life. You're just telling people that you don't surrender. That you're not spending time with the Lord. That's exactly what it is.
Right.
That's right. I don't care who you are, what you go through, God has a special experience for you that if you'll surrender to it, it'll be very comfortable.
Amen.
And yet you know you're having to pull for the kingdom of heaven. Right?
Right.
There's no other way. There's no other way. But Jesus said, you know, if you deny me, I'll have to deny you, right? If you pick up the plow and then you look back, you're not worthy, right? If you won't leave father, mother, all those things, remember Jesus saying that? If you put any of that ahead of him, you're not worthy, right? Because none of them provide what we're talking about. My wife and I, we were talking the other day, and I think one of my grandkids said to his mommy, I love you. And I told my wife, I said, I believe it was Anna. And I said, and Anna said, If you love me, keep my commandments. Right?
Right.
And I went on, I said, why? Because all of the things I tell you to do is for your protection. Right?
Right.
Don't play in the road, Junior. All the things I tell you is for your protection. And if you love me, then do that because I love you and I want to protect you.
Right.
And God tells you, take this yoke. I love you. Take this yoke upon you. If you don't, you're in trouble. And I'm doing everything I can to help you. But if you won't obey me, I can't do anything for you.
Right.
You got to surrender to God's word.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, surely that all of us here have been here long enough to know you've traveled and you know you've turned his word away from you and you see where it's got you. And I'll ask you, how's it going? How's it going turning your back on God's word? Surely at some point we'll realize I'm going to quit sticking my hand in the fire because it burns me every time.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Amen. Take that yoke upon you because he promised that his burden is light. He did it all for us, saints. You don't have to go to hell.
Right.
You don't have to suffer in the regions of the lost. And if you think you've had fear in this life, you wait till you get there.
Yeah.
You wait till you even get on your deathbed there. See, don't do that. I pray none of you do that. That you surrender to God until you know that you're in that yoke and that you're pulling for him. And though that you know you're having to pull, there is a little bit of effort you have to put for the kingdom of heaven to suffer, persecute, and to get up and pray and read your Bible. And just that little bit of work that you have to do. But look at what he's doing with that. Look at this, what he can do for the kingdom of heaven. If one man can get up and spend the time in prayer, then he can come and speak to people a word from God and what he can do for you.
Right.
And then on the day of judgment, have to stand there and say, yeah, my pastor preached it, but I didn't listen. God is a God of judgment.
Right.
He's a God of mercy too.
Yes, amen.
Right? And there's a way to get that mercy, and there's a way to spurn judgment. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Take this yoke upon you. You know, when you take that yoke upon him, he said, learn of me.
Right.
This is what we've got to understand. Learn of him. Take that yoke upon you and begin to learn of him. Because what you're going to find out is that he is meek and he's lowly in heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Jesus saying that in contrast to the world. Who's dog eat dog and they force you and they bind you and they put you in prison and force you, the devil force you to live certain ways and do all these things and destroy your body in the process. Right? But Jesus said, take this yoke upon me, learn of me, and what you're going to find out is I am meek, I am lowly, and my effect on you will cause the same thing. You'll be meek, lowly, you won't be like the world. You won't be dog eat. You won't be a tyrant.
Right.
You can't do it when you're walking in the Holy Spirit. You cannot beat your family with a fist. You cannot lash out at them with curse words. You can't do those things when you walk with the Lord. Right? A surrendered life. Then he'll let you know what you can and can't do. You don't know the way, but he does.
Right.
And if you'll just listen to him, he'll get you there. Amen? I think about the GPSs that we use to travel. Go somewhere we've never been before and never have one fear one bit whether or not we're going to get there. Because we're putting confidence in a GPS, a God positioning system that comes from above. Those satellites control it from above. If we listen to what comes from out of heaven, it'll get us to our destination and you don't have to worry about whether or not you can get there. Because God will make sure you get there. Amen. Learn of him. You'll find out he's meek and lowly. He's got the nature of a lamb. He's not like the world. And when you become a Christian, you don't want to live like the world. And when you do, because it's still in your flesh, when you do fly off the handle at your family, you'll go make it right. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you, you did wrong, go make it right. What if you don't do that? Then you're going to pay a consequence.
Right.
There is a wake behind every movement we make. You're in the water, swimming, whatever. You move, there's wake. There's waves. There's effect on others by your every movement. Amen. So you'll learn his characteristics. His characteristics are not like the world. And so you take that yoke upon you and you'll learn of him. You'll learn what kind of character and nature he is, and it'll affect you. Why? Because you're entering into his character, his nature. You're entering into the person of rest, which is a person.
Amen.
Right? That person living in you. But he can only live in his word. So you got to have your word. You got to accept that word in you. And I do believe predestinated sons and daughter of God, they have that word in them, predestinated. And and it's the preaching of the word that quickens that. And once that quickened, now the Holy Ghost can come in and live in it. Other people get the Holy Ghost, they don't have that seed word in there. It's just an anointing, and they can do some things right and whatever. But when it's all over and done with, they're still not a seed. But for a seed of God, is a quickening. It will never change. It will never go away. Amen. That's why some people can prophesy and speak in tongues and do all these things in his name, and he'll say, I never knew you. But he knows his word. Amen.
Right.
Aren't you glad for a message to straighten out all those things?
Yes.
Amen. Man, outside of these walls, outside of the church, of this, they don't know. They don't understand. It's confusing them. They don't even know if there's three God, two God, one God. They don't know.
Right.
And it's because they resisted the very truth that'll bring them the understanding of these things.
Right.
Amen. That's why Satan keeps hammering up. Why are you believing that message? Because it set us free.
Amen.
Because it's given me rest from all the confusion I had before I come to this. Now I don't have that confusion. Amen. Amen. You'll find out what his nature is, and he's got the nature of a lamb, and he conquered with that nature.
Right.
He conquered as a lamb. Always a lion of the tribe of Judah, but when John looked, he was a lamb. Because that's how, a bloody lamb. That's how he won the victory. God doesn't win by great armies and lots of bloodshed. He wins by the bloodshed of one.
Right.
Amen. When you experience him, you'll find rest for your soul.
Amen. Right.
Amen. And when that happens, you'll stop trying to work your way into rest. You can't work your way into rest. You can't work harder to become restful. Mm-hmm. You got to stop what you can do and trust. And if you'll follow God's word the way we're talking about, he's obligated. If you will follow his word and accept that, then the Holy Spirit can come upon that, and you will experience the rest. You will experience something that takes all those sorrows away from you, and you'll know something's different.
Right.
Amen. You'll know that. And you'll start accepting what he's done for you when you start a relationship with him each day as a friend.
Yes.
That's how it works. You can be so burdened down, and I'm telling you, go and you can kneel and pray and begin to talk to him. And all of a sudden, I don't know how, but all of a sudden everything's okay. Still may have something we have to deal with physically in life out here, something that's coming along we have to deal with, but somehow when we get in his presence and pray and we turn to this rest I'm talking about, somehow it's okay now. We're going to be fine, and he'll get us through it.
Right.
And we know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Why wouldn't people want that? And I'm going to tell you, once you taste of the Lord and you see that he's good, what I'm talking about, you won't go back.
Right.
You will not go back. You will have had an experience that you will have had a new birth that cannot be undone. Amen.
Amen.
I am so glad that everything in him is yea and amen.
Right.
And if he doesn't keep his promises, then what kind of God would he be?
Right.
But he does. Right. He does. Amen. His word. Somebody sent me a link yesterday, and I didn't even watch it because just the link itself said, is there biblical significance to Israel attacking, Iran or whatever it was? And I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, my response to that would be is, everything's biblically.
Right.
Everything that's going on is exactly what the word said is coming.
Yes, that's right.
That's the kind of God we serve. Man, proving himself. And remember, he said he would come this day. And this day he would come and be a faithful and true witness to Laodicea.
Right.
The amen. The faithful and true witness. the beginning of the creation of God. He shows up in this end time and shows that the very one at the beginning that spoke these things into existence, he's here among us now in a ministry to show us that that spoken word is here. He's a faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God found here in Laodicea. What has he done? What has God done in our day?
Amen. Right.
This is it.
I'm not
saying, well, we've arrived. I'm saying this is what God had bottled up, a mystery that God had there for all those ages. He's laid it out there.
Yeah, right.
The final message for the final age for the Gentiles. Amen.
Yeah.
May you please give him a chance.
Right.
Give him a chance. But you can't give him a chance as long as you keep trying. You keep working. Give him a chance. Take everything you've done, wrong, right, whatever, indifferent, and lay it at his feet and say, Lord, I need rest from you. I'm killing myself. I'm destroying myself. I'm destroying my future. Just give it to him. Give him a chance. But you've got, in order to do that, you have to put on that yoke of his. He's promised it'll be light. It'll be easy. It'll be light. And God gave me this sermon when I was up there in those mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You do what I'm saying, not because it's me. But you do what we're talking about, what this word says.
Right.
And God will meet you. He will meet you in the level at which he'll actually meet you more. If you take one step toward him, I think he probably takes two towards you. But you can't back away and expect him to keep coming. You've got to accept some of these truths. You've got to start putting them in your life.
Yeah.
Initiating them.
Right.
And when that happens, he will not be indebted.
Right.
He will show himself to you. He will show you that he will conquer every enemy in your life if you will let him. I don't care what it is. If you'll let him, he will conquer every disease, every demon, every habit, everything that there is. But you've,
right.
and he's not going to judge you and you not know that you've done wrong. You're going to know because he's dealing with you out of your own conscience and out of the preaching and out of things that happen and out of your own family. All the things you know when you're doing things that are wrong because he's telling you. Then take those things and lay them at his feet and say, Lord, fix me.
Right.
Fix me.
Because
that's what I need.
Amen.
Because I've come to the place to know, Lord, that if I keep going, I'm just destroying myself.
Right.
I'm just destroying my family. I'm destroying
right.
my testimony. Right.
Right.
God wants us to surrender to him, and we'll walk up in such a way that our life is worthy of this gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's what we want.
Amen.
We were fellowshipping the other day, Brother Daniel and I, and I said, just think, you know, and I don't remember the exact words, but so just think, you know, I know that it hurts when we lose a loved one. And when we're not afraid of going their death. We're just afraid of how we get there. We don't like how sometimes you get there, but we're not afraid because just think of it. What we don't think about it often enough. I think that as Christians, we realize that when we get there, our burdens are done. Well, who wouldn't be joyful? Who wouldn't be like Brother Bosworth? We got to have that testimony that when somebody says, we should say, I cannot die. I can't die. I might have changed dwelling places. This might lay down. But as a believer, I can't die because he's in me.
Right.
Right? And then we can say on our deathbed, the greatest day of our life is right now.
Yeah.
Right. When he's just in a moment, go come through that, step through that door or whatever. Take us to be with him.
Amen.
You know, rapture's coming. We're in rapture cycle, but our bodies at some point are going to change.
Yeah.
What to fear?
Amen.
I would love to not have aches and pains in my body again.
Right.
Wouldn't you?
Amen.
I would love to not be attacked anymore
right.
by the enemy. I'd love to be in a place where no situation catches me off guard and I'm trying to figure out what to do. I would love that.
Right.
And it's coming.
Right.
Why would we fear that?
Right.
You You know, when we go to travel, I've said this before, when you go to travel, and that's probably, I do it more than a lot of people, when I'm going to go somewhere, especially a foreign country, I'm going to do a little bit of studying up or reading up about where I'm going and what their customs are. So that when I get there, I don't do something that would be offensive.
Yeah. Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be offensive over there. Mm-hmm. First of all, I wouldn't be there. Because he's going to take everything out of his kingdom that offends. He said so. Mm-hmm. Right? But you understand? Start preparing for where you're going. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You know that's what sinners are doing? They're preparing for where they're going. Mm-hmm. But what about believers?
Right.
We're going to a place where God's word is everything. So why not we make that here? Mm-hmm. God's word is everything.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Put everything away. And the only way you can do that is to push that world back and say, God, get it away from me.
Right.
I've heard that you've got a new birth that you'll give me, that I will not want those things anymore. I need that, God.
Mm-hmm.
And he will do it.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that with all my heart because I've experienced it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I am not the person I used to be. And many of you are not the person. Yeah, I said that. My wife shook her head yes. See? We're not. My aunt, she's shaking her head yes. I am not the person I used to be because he changed me. Not because of anything I did, but because of what he did.
Yeah.
Right.
You know why? Because by his grace, one day, I gave him a chance. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He will do what he said. There is rest for your soul.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you've got to accept it.
Right.
Amen. And watch him do the wonders that he promised he would do. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come through this, you know, I know, Lord, how you speak, and I know that how you delivered this to me, and I know how the enemy fought me, and here I come down with a sickness and didn't even feel like getting out of bed this morning. But I thank you, Lord, because you know how to order the steps of your people.
Yes.
You know how to speak through us, how to live through us, how to guide us. And so, Lord, I have laid these things out here today. I have spoken them to your children, to I believe to be your children. And Lord, I commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. That these words that I have spoken, regardless of what the devil has done or tries to do, these words will lodge in their hearts and will make a difference in their life from this day forward. I commit it to you, God. I am not anything special myself, but Lord, I have given to them what you have spoken to me to share with them this day. And I commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. That from this day forward, they will start to adopt these truths in their life, begin to do these things they heard today. And Lord, that you will come and you will make such a difference in response to them surrendering to just even the smallest portion of these words, Lord, you will respond in such a way to make it clear to them. Because Lord, we know we're at the end. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon this little assembly. We commit them to you in Jesus' name. Let the musicians come if they wish to. If they wanted to sit there in their seat and worship, that's fine also. Let's go to 596. Amen. I love this song. I hope you don't get tired of singing it with me.
No.
No matter who you are in this church, no matter what your position is, if you'll let that word lead you and guide you, God will take you.